like them.
That's what we should do.
That's a good point.
Focus on religion.
What's your name, man?
Travis.
I'm Jim. I'm James. Brother James. Here's one of our gospel cards.
Hi.
It's my wife, Debbie.
How you doing?
Yeah, we're a follower of Most High. And I'm a street preacher. I travel the country.
Okay.
And I go out in the streets and I lift up Christ crucified. And we call people out of the world. We call people out of man-made religion.
Mm-hmm.
We teach the biblical gospel. It's on our card. And the question I like to ask people is, what kingdom are you seeking? Mm-hmm. There's two kingdoms in this universe. There's a kingdom of Satan that we're all born into. And he's the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then there's the kingdom of God that Christ came to show us what it looks like, who he was. He came to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. We all need that because we've all fallen short. And he came to defeat death for us. And so we ask people, what kingdom are they seeking? And you have to rebel out of Satan's kingdom. Rebel against him. And like he rebelled against the Father. You have to rebel against him and your flesh and the world and politics, culture, entertainments, movie, sports, man-made. I call it churchianity. And we don't belong to any group. I don't believe in any organized group. Christ started his body in the first century. We don't need an organized group. We need to keep those ways. And then we teach people that by the blood of Christ, faith in it, his perfect work, we can't get there on our works, but works are part of our saving faith, like a marriage. Faithful obedience, love, and caring for is fruit that you have the love to begin with. Yeah.
It's a marriage. It's
Yep. Faith and works go together. And if you just willfully sin and you won't obey the Father, it's either fruit that you're not born of God or it's fruit that you're rebellious. Either one, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. And so the gospel I preach is Christ shed blood, death, burial, resurrection. That's the foundation. And then the Bible says, repent. Change your mind, change your ways. We were worldly drunks and partiers and wicked, nasty people, worst of the worst. We had to repent of all that. We had to come out of man-made religion.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, Easter, pagan holidays, worldliness, mingling the culture with the so-called body of Christ, Super Bowl parties. It's Halloween now, trunk or treat parties. None of this is of the Father. And we had to repent and come out of that. And when God sees that you have faith and you repent, a willing vessel, you'll get a new heart and a new mind. You'll be born again by the Spirit of God. And the fruit that you're born again is not you join a church, that you just stop getting drunk or doing drugs or having sex. Those are good things out of marriage. Those are good things that you should stop.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruit is now the Spirit beckons you to the Word of God, mm-hmm. to holiness, to obedience, stripping your life down, losing your life. Jesus promised that if you come to find him, you're going to lose your life. You'll lose your family, most of your family, your friends. I lost my career. We lost our family and friends. You'll be hated by the world. So if you're not out of the world and despised by the culture and most of your family and friends, I would venture to say you're really not living for Christ. You're living compromised. Because as soon as you live for Christ, biblically and holy, and you preach the gospel and you show people the way, which is to rebel against this culture, 99.999%, Jesus said, few will find it. Most of them hate it. And so you'll notice that, and so let me finish the gospel. Faith, repentance, you'll be born again. The fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience, conforming to the Word of God. And the last part of the gospel, you must endure. You must overcome to the end. You have the hope of salvation today, but you have to endure. Are you married?
Yeah.
So you have to endure tomorrow, next month, next year. You can ruin your marriage next week.
Mm-hmm.
You must endure in it faithfully. We must endure in a saving faith. We can't do it without his word and spirit, but he also can't force his will upon us. We'd all be slaves. We must be in a covenant. And that's one of the big problems I see in America is everybody talks about that's Christian. You have a relationship with Jesus, and that's really not biblical. God has always been, the Father has always been a covenantal God. He is a covenant. He did his part, put out his arms. Yeah, exactly. It's a love God, you know. It's a loving relationship with God, which is good. God is love. But how do we love God? The Bible says it's keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3. Not just some heartfelt, emotional music, love God. No, God says obey me. He's always wanted obedience, not sacrifice. He never wanted to start killing animals and shedding blood. He's always wanted his people and then Israel and his people today to obey his word and keep his word. So, and we don't keep, you saw my wife, if you saw us, we don't look like the culture. She had covers and wear a dress. I have on a tunic-like garment.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't teach Torah law, the Old Testament, but we do teach, the Torah law for Israel. We do teach some Old Testament things, like you're married, probably to one woman.
Yep.
your wife's married to one man. God ordained that in Genesis 2, so we keep that. In Genesis 3, God killed animal, first animal sacrifice, and dressed mankind in coats of skins. Look up the Hebrew. I have articles on this on my teaching blog. He put us in tunics to cover us. So we keep that. It's still never changed. It's still that way today. We're supposed to cover our forms. In Genesis 9, God told Noah after the flood, eat of any animal you want, but don't eat the blood. That's the only dietary law we have today, because then the Israelites were told, don't eat pork, don't eat this, don't eat that. That was a ceremonial law to set them apart. Then in Acts 15, the Judaizers are trying to make the Gentiles keep the law of Moses, and James and Paul and Peter said, we did not command that. And have you ever noticed this? Do you know? It sounds like you know the Word of God. The four things they gave them in Acts 15. I love this. They gave them, don't eat blood, strangled meat, which that goes along with not eating blood. You strangle an animal and it doesn't bleed out. No sexual immorality and no idols. You look at the four things they gave the Gentiles, it's not Torah law. Goes back to Genesis. In Genesis.
Pre-tour.
Yeah, pre-tour. Yeah. Genesis, they were all told, don't do sexual immorality, don't have idols, don't eat blood. So it's very clear what we're to keep today. We're keeping mostly the New Testament. We're keeping some pre-Torah law. And it's all summed up in love God, love your neighbor. That's it. If you do that, all the rest of them hinge upon that.
Yeah.
And that's what we travel and preach to remind people. The sad part is in this culture today, there's so much false religion everywhere. So I have a website where I expose, on my Unbiblical Teachers blog, I expose false teaching, because everybody's being swept away by Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, Baptist. There's a movement called Hebrew Roots. Are you familiar with that? Okay. They teach you to keep Torah. We don't teach that. And so most people are being swept away by false religion, and it's always what tickles your ears. It's like whatever you kind of like, that's what you're going to gravitate towards. But the Word of God says, submit, kill your flesh, keep my word, keep my ways. And very few people want to do that because there's a great cost.
Yeah.
There's a great cost to it. Are you a believer?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you belong to a body or group here?
We just moved here.
Where from?
Florida.
What part?
Down near Tampa.
Okay. What brought you here, could I ask?
Yeah, just I wanted more space.
More space, okay.
We wanted to be able to kind of grow our own food and
okay.
do our own things. So.
Yeah, we have a small homestead on the north end of the Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay.
But we're never here.
Yeah.
We moved down from Wisconsin.
Huh? Care of it.
I'm sorry?
So if you're never here, how do you take care of it?
Well, it's a homestead that's shut down. We don't have animals. We don't have... But it's a homestead that could be.
It
could be. It's a refuge for saints, and it's kind of an investment. You know, with the way things are in the economy, you know, I'd rather have a chunk of land than cash.
Yeah.
And, we got a well, and we have a tiny off-grid house, and I have guest cabins. So it's set up to be a refuge, and it's right by the water. We can go down and catch all the fish we need to eat,
mm-hmm.
and we have a garden area set up. And so, but we sold all of our stuff in Wisconsin, 90% of it, and cleared out of there and got centrally located here. And then I just felt the call to go full-time and travel. So we're going back there now. We're going to check it. I got to do it or I got to have somebody weed whip it twice, two or three times a year, and that's it. That's the only maintenance we have. And but we teach people that to be free in Christ. Free through the gospel I just preached you, be born again, be debt free. And then be free if you have to work, like you're a young man.
That was another one of the big things about moving here, getting debt free.
Yep, you want to be debt free, you're a young man. And then the third one is, whatever job you do, make sure you're free in that job. In other words, you could work for Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sinful about that. Mm-hmm. I was a salesman.
Yeah.
My job was sinful. They wanted me to lie, twist the truth,
yeah,
you know, be worldly. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, Tampa, we go down, we're getting ready. We're going to go to the homestead. We've been preaching all summer, so it's been a long run. We're going to go to the homestead for about a week, do projects, rest up a little bit, and then we're headed out south. Well, east, and then we're headed south down the eastern seaboard. But we always end up in Florida because Florida in the wintertime, you know, nobody's out here when it's, you know, 30 degrees and ice storms.
Yeah.
Florida is just flush. I mean, just events and people and everywhere. But you said around Tampa you were at.
Yeah, I grew up in Jacksonville, but for the last 4 or 5 years I've been living in
Tampa. What'd you pick Central Missouri for? I'm just curious.
Well, I had come out here to visit some friends a couple of years ago and just loved the area.
Okay.
And then I looked around and the land was a whole lot cheaper than it was
sure.
in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew a guy who I'd worked for out here back then for a few months.
Yep.
And I called him and he passed the business on to his nephew, and I got his number. And
nice.
And
so what do you do for work here?
Build houses.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, so now you walked up and you got a beard. You look like you could be like a Hebrew Roots guy. You know about that. Warning.
Yeah.
This is a hotbed. Kind of here in south. This is a hotbed for the Hebrew roots. So be careful. There's a lot of deceptive false religion. I was just down in like the Ava area, and on my teaching blog, I got thousands of articles on my teaching blog. I'm boasting in Christ. I mean, He's given me the chance to do it all for free. We don't want your money. We don't take anyone's money. We support ourselves. But I have lots of articles on the Hebrew root, and they're very much working. They're here and into Arkansas. This is like, and the reason that is, I don't know if you know this, there's a couple of these false teachers started saying that God's regathering His people in this area, and it's going to be like the second Exodus. I mean, they're like teaching it's like a second Exodus. So be careful. There's a lot of false teaching around here besides the Baptists and the Roman Catholics and the non-denominationals and the Mormons. Hebrew roots is just like south of here.
Yeah.
So we encourage people to get in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Test all things. Test everything I tell you. Go deep in the Scripture and conform your life, your Word, your life to His Word and His ways. And if people aren't walking in those ways fully, they're leavened. And I just had a guy contact me. He's like, I can't find a good church. Should I compromise? And I said, why would you do that? Would you eat poison?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't do that. You be a Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah did not compromise his life. Otherwise, if he did, the ark would have rolled over full of pagans trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
You must be holy and be separate. And I don't care if it's one sin. People say, wow, you're so hard. And I go, how many sins took the world into the fall? How many sins did keep Moses out of the Holy Land? How many sins did it cost a couple in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira? One sin matters. One bad doctrine matters. If people carry one sin and one bad doctrine on the surface,
mm-hmm.
I can promise you there's a lot more they're hiding.
Yeah.
It's like if I started using a coarse word,
mm-hmm.
you'd go, that's kind of out of place for a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably has a carnal heart and he's a lot of other stuff going on I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, the tip of the iceberg kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
See the iceberg, it's that big. Underneath, it's like that big. So I encourage you to become a Berean. And let me give you a great testimony. I'm boasting in Christ again. My wife and I became born again about a couple weeks apart from each other. We started studying the Scriptures, and for a short time we went to an Assembly of God church. And we were green, dripping behind ears. We didn't know nothing. We went to an Assembly of God church for about 4 months. We were studying the Word of God. It took no time for us to go, everything God's Word says to do, they don't do it. And everything God says don't do, they do. And we were pulling away. We were done with that after 4 or 5 months when the pagan holidays rolled around and we said, these aren't biblical. And they said, we love them. Christmas, Easter, we're out of here. And we became Bereans. And studying the Scriptures, not linking to man-made false religion. And God had us on a steady uphill climb in truth and holiness. Most people don't do that. Most people start reading the Bible. They join this group. They get defiled and in sin. Then they run, and then they join this group. They look like a heart attack. Boom, 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 boom. We're a living testimony. It's not because I'm smart. It's because we clung to the Word of God like this, straight up in truth. Nope, sorry, false teacher, you're not going to stick to me. I'll teach you, I'll rebuke you, I'll correct you, but if you don't want it, we're going on. And so I encourage people, because the Holy Spirit in John 14 said He will teach you all truth. He's not a liar. You can know all truth. You can walk in holiness. Can you be perfect on this side of heaven? No, you have a flesh you got to battle. But you can take your sin scale from a 10, and over time you can whittle it down to a 2 or 3, where you're walking in holiness, and you're starving that... You have dogs on your homestead or anything? You have 2 dogs. You feed one really good, you starve the other one. When they get in a fight, who's going to win? Feed your spirit man, starve that flesh man, that worldly man that, you know, every culture tells you, oh, you don't have to avoid that. You can watch sports and you can be involved in politics and you can be like the culture. And that's feeding your flesh man. And starve him and feed your spirit man and you'll win every battle in the event. Most battles, yeah. The old fleshly man, you know, I always say, instead of him being strong man to come fight you, he's like an old man in your backyard with a big finger saying, come on, let's sin. And he's an old, decrepit man. If you starved him, you can overpower him. Galatians 5 and Romans 8, walk in the Spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you live right around here somewhere?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right
nice. So you have like a homestead or something?
Kind of, it's like 10 acres.
Yeah, nice. Nice. And married, children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you started telling me, are you with a group of believers down here?
We've been going to one church the last 3 weeks. It's on, it's right on 32, on West 32.
What's it called?
It's called Ozark Bible Church.
Okay, I don't know of it.
Pastor's name is...
It doesn't matter. I could look it up. On my website is the gospel I just preached to you, and then I have a 10-point test.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, around here I know for sure, around the country, I haven't found anybody in a building that passes this 10-point test. It's a biblical test. And it just talks about how, you know, is it a building-centered mindset? Does it have a modern pastor that does all the teaching versus many men getting up and speaking? Does it keep the pagan holidays? Is it feminized? Does it teach women to dress biblical and cover their head? Does it teach the men how to dress biblical? I can't find, yeah. So you don't want to infect your family in that which you know is false doctrine, because Jesus said we must worship in spirit and truth. So I always ask people, how can you worship with people that aren't in truth? And if you go and unite to them singing and prayer, you might say, well, I don't live that way. They do. You're united to them. The Bible says, mark them, warn them, and avoid them, Romans 16:17. And that's how you keep the leaven out of your house. That's how you tell your children. Your children, if they're old enough, say, Daddy, how come we don't go to that church anymore? I loved all those kids, and the music was so fun. And you say, well, let me teach you. And you show them why they're not doing what the Father says. You showed them, and they don't want that, and we must avoid all sin. And it's a lesson for your children to not compromise and walk in sin, because if you compromise, your children are going to model you. And they're going to say, well, Daddy said not to drink beer, and they get out with their friends, and when they go, I guess I can have some because he compromises too. Or I can look at things I shouldn't. See what I'm saying? We're to be a tupos. That means example. I love that. The Greek word is tupos. Do you study the Greek and the Hebrew?
No.
You want to do that because, can I give you an example? Like the King James Bible is a good Bible. I'm not a King James only guy. It's a good Bible. New King James is good. The Message Bible, NIV Bible, have a bonfire with them. They're terrible translations. But let me give an example. Even King James, you need to test. 1 Timothy 2:9, I'll have to share this. It tells women to dress in modest apparel. Now, how old are you?
33.
Okay, you're young. I got a son that old as you. Even in your life, what's modest has changed. Mm-hmm. And it's always going this way. Yeah. Pretty soon, women are going to be walking around with their bodies just painted. And people are going to say, well, they're painted. Right now it's skin-tight yoga. Yeah. So the Bible doesn't leave us that way. The word modest apparel is a terrible translation. Go look up the Greek. It means neat, orderly robe. That's what it means in the Greek. Apparel means catastole, a robe. So if you study the Greek, here's another one, church. The word church. When you think of church in America, you usually think of a building, an organization. You know, the word is really in Greek is ekklesia. And this is beautiful. It means called out ones. Holy, set apart. So you teach your children, we don't belong to the American church system. We're called out holy and set apart for Christ like a bride. Your wife's set apart for you, I hope. You're set apart for her. We're to be set apart for Christ. The Bible says be blameless and spotless. That means no sin, no false traditions, no man-made religion. And I always remind people of this. You know, people always, this culture is awash in homosexuality. And I always see these street preachers, which I don't know any biblical street preachers. I don't. I really don't. The ones that are on the internet and stuff, they're all a bunch of compromised false teachers. But they're always attacking and going after homosexuality, going after this. And I say, listen, when Christ comes, go read the Bible. He hated religious hypocrisy more than anything. The drunk,
that's the one that you saw him throwing things overboard.
So these people, everybody that claims a faith in Christ, and if they don't have it right and they're compromising, God's wrath is coming for you like double hot for the guy laying in the gutter that goes, I know I'm a sinner, I'm just wicked. Jesus said that guy's going to be justified before you religious hypocrites that keep false ways. So I just encourage people to keep sharpening their sword, and that's what my website's designed to do, is to help people test everything they're doing, come out, and then if people want edification, I disciple men. I'm a disciple of Christ. You're not a disciple of me. We're all discipling, following Christ. But I help disciple men, and I teach them, and then we have online fellowship with people. My wife has a sister's blog where she teaches. Women don't teach men. Women don't rebuke men. You'll notice my wife is quiet. But she teaches ladies on ladies' issues. So if your wife is interested in a ladies' blog to be edified and encouraged in the things of God's Word. So that's what we encourage people, is to go deep and be a Noah in your town if you have to be. And if you're saying, where are all the godly people? You just met two. Mm-hmm. And I can promise you, there is few. Yeah. Few there be that find it. You know, that's what the Word of God tells us. And I always like to remind people, in Noah's day, only 8 got on the ark out of thousands. Mm-hmm. Out of Sodom and Gomorrah, only 3 came out of thousands. Here's one for you. Israel comes out of Egypt. They had 600,000 men. Tells us that in Numbers. How many? 600,000. Do you know how many went into the Holy Land because they sinned and had to keep going in a circle for 40 years? You know how many went into the Holy Land? Joshua and Caleb out of 600,000. It's few. It's few. And when you test somebody, like you might go, I hope you do, go to our website, test our fruit. Now, these are all great words, I'm telling you. He has great words. You know, he sounds like he's telling all the truth. Test our fruit. Look at our life. Look at our doctrine. Look what we proclaim. Look how we live. And then people should look at you and should be the same way. They should say, what's the fruit? Not just his words. Oh, I love Jesus. Right. Oh, I believe in the Bible. Are you obeying it? Mm-hmm. Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you meditating on it? Are you stripping down your life to follow it? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's awesome that you moved and got yourself some more room. And you're probably already set apart from family and friends because you don't have probably many here. That's good.
I've got a couple friends there.
Well, that's okay. If they're, you know, if they're either friends that don't drag your life down and they're worldly, that's fine. If they're sinful religious people, then you can help them in the light. And then if they don't want to come that way, then be careful because they're leaving. They're leaving. So does that all make sense?
Yeah. Appreciate it. Good meeting you, James.
Yeah, it's good meeting you. This is perfect timing because we were just rolling through town. We had to stop here. We're headed back to our homestead. And I always tell people, I think these are appointed meetings where we're to encourage each other to go deeper and to strive because this life is short. You're younger, but you're not that young. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're going to be 40. Once you hit 40, it goes like water, fast, you know. And so we're to encourage each other. And if you're interested in Bible study or fellowship, let me know. I'd love to encourage you. If you read anything on my website or you've heard anything I've said and you don't think it's right, contact me. I'm teachable, testable, approachable. You can give me a teaching. I'll listen. I love it. Then I'm going to have a lot of questions for you. And I'm going to say, well, wait a minute. Because I always get these people that say, you're wrong. And I go, come teach me. And they go, well, what are you going to do after I teach you? I go, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. And they're like, I don't think I want to do that. I'm like, why not? No, because they're not really
sure in what they have.
They're not sure what they believe in. Let me leave you with this. Whatever you believe in, hopefully it's all biblical. Be ready to die for it. See, because you don't really believe in something until you're willing to die for it. Make sense? Think of your wife and your children. If a bad guy comes in the door or a grizzly bear or an animal comes to attack him and you run away, you don't really love them. You've been fooling yourself. But if you're willing to throw your life for theirs, you really love them. So what I teach people is whatever you believe, make sure it's biblical and then believe it unto death and you'll be a bold, holy man of God. Most people are walking around going, well, I believe this, but cost me something, I'm really not sure, and boy, that's really, you know, your wife or your friends will go, that's really going to set you apart, and you go, that's exactly what the Bible
says.
So let me know if I can ever help you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming over.
Contact you from
there, my email's on there, my phone number's on there, you can text me, you can email, you can call me, we'll gather with people that are biblical and teach them. I always tell people, we're looking for biblical believers to unite to. We want to love on people. That's what we've spent our lives to do this. I retired early. We're spending our life savings to do this. And we don't make any money. I don't sell anything and I'm not popular. And so people have to ask, why is this guy doing this? No. It's because we love people. We love God. We love people. And we want to know other believers. And when we leave this earth, we want to know that we strive to help bring more others into the kingdom and encourage the ones that were. What better legacy could you have? Bring more to the kingdom and encourage the ones that were there. Not that, you know, my property's right on the edge of the lake. I could be fishing the rest of my life. God changed my heart from being a fisherman to be a fisher of men. Isn't that awesome? I hope to hear from you.
I think I will.
All right.
You will.
Sounds good. We're rolling down the road.
All right.
God bless you. We love you all.
Yeah.